Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome back to Commerce Central. So in this week's episode, we are approaching the second half of Ramadan. And alhamdulillah for all those who have made it here and are still pushing. Congratulations. For those who are who made it here, finding it a little bit difficult, then inshallah, we hope that this podcast benefits ourselves firstly and then everyone else who is listening as well. So, you know, in talking about Laylatul Qadr, you know, is this week's theme. But before that, coming to the second of Ramadan, sometimes we might feel a little bit tired, you know, especially sometimes we talk about goal setting a lot. We set quite high goals, right? Some people might get tired because, you know, they are really pushing themselves hard to get these goals. Others might get tired because they set these goals, but they were not able to attain them in the first half of Ramadan, right? And also for new Muslims converts like ourselves when we were younger, you know, Ramadan can be quite overwhelming, right? So for those who find it a little bit difficult, overwhelmed, and they get demotivated, what are some things that they can do, Sheikh, to kind of push themselves towards the second half and finish strong?
MashaAllah, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wassalamu ala sayyidina rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Look, one of the key concepts in developing any habit is the power of small acts. I know you're asking about how can we keep pushing, how we can achieve, and I'm talking about small. But sometimes, you know, being able to finish a race, regardless of your position, is in and of itself an achievement, right? So let's say someone who's struggling to finish with the same pace, right? Or someone who hasn't already started. So the answer in both cases are very similar, right? Make sure that you finish the race, right? So if you didn't already start, start now. You know, don't start saying, you know, I'll wait until next year. I'll wait for the following Ramadan. Seize on the opportunity. Whatever is left of Ramadan, you know, don't play a zero-sum game. Either all Ramadan or nothing. That's not a, it's not a Muslim mindset, right? So don't be a perfectionist. Don't play a zero-sum game. If you haven't started already, start today. Seize whatever is still available. The fact that you're concerned to begin, the fact that you're keen to begin, that in itself is something that is good, something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves from you. So begin now. If someone has already started, but then they feel that instead of having a gradual buildup, they're now facing a kind of a regress, then what I would recommend is that consider the amount that you can maintain till the end of the month, right? And stick to that and make sure that you reach the finish line moving forward, right? Despite of maybe you're not not to the same level, not to the same strength, not to the same power and so on and so forth, but make sure that you cross the finish line. That in and of itself is an achievement. And then when you look back on Ramadan, you will find a commonality, right? Let's say someone, let's say just for hypothetically, someone who is doing, let's say, 2 juz's per day, right? And then after the first week, it became a juz and a half. And then towards the half, it's becoming 1 juz, right? So they ought to, you know, have a contemplation, a reflection on what took place before, and given their context, their circumstances, assign whatever amount they can finish till the end of the month, right? They don't have to maintain whatever they were doing earlier, right? But just make sure that whatever amount you will allocate, make sure that this is something that you can maintain till the end of the month. So I think this is the kind of the key to finishing off on a good note, in a sense. Does that make sense?
It does. You have anything to add?
I think it was very interesting that you said how towards the end we finish off such that we can keep going after Ramadan, because we see it as sort of like, okay, Ramadan's ending, my last fast, I'm going to stay up the whole night in prayer, I'm going to read as much Quran as possible. And then after Ramadan, we're kind of just so burnt out of doing all this, like pushing ourselves beyond what we can take. And like for me, I think that was very interesting to see how it's not just about reaching the finish line, but also about being okay after that. So like making sure we constantly reevaluate. And that whole thinking about what happened that I couldn't commit to these goals that I previously had. Mm-hmm. What is something more realistic for me? That process of reflection and contemplation and really seeing, okay, this is where I'm at, being honest with yourself of, ya Allah, this is the best I can do right now. And that's okay. Mm. And that's something I don't think we talk about often because it's such a fast-paced life in Ramadan in Singapore. You're just like, okay, you're just like constantly pushing
you're
yourself.
You're excited about Ramadan in Singapore.
I am. Yeah, so alhamdulillah, thank you for that perspective.
And you know something also, this is a skill that people need in life, right? Sometimes let's say you make an investment, right? You begin a business or something. You have to always make sure that you have the skills to maneuver, to pivot, to from one position to another position. It's a skill that, you know, young folks also need it when they, you know, do a career shift in a sense, right? So let's say somebody who had these a set of goals, and then let's say one of the rituals that they were doing, whether it's recitation of the Quran or Taraweeh, they cannot maintain it as much. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sidi Ibn Atala Sakandari says, you know, he made the acts of devotion diverse, right? So let's say for whatever reason, because of studying, because of work, you cannot maintain the 20 rak'ahs, and do whatever amount of rak'ahs that you can, and then compensate that with dhikr, for example, during the day. Compensate that in the form of rak'ahs of salat al-duha. Some of the pious predecessors, they used to make up the night vigil, if they miss it, in al-duha. Right, so they had the routine to do, let's say, 8 whatever rak'ahs of night vigil, and for whatever reason they couldn't wake up, and they only woke up for the fajr. They wait after sunrise, and then they pray more rak'ahs of duha. Yep. So it becomes their opportunity in a sense. And this is something, by the way, that this we need, not just for someone who's compensating for the night vigil. If someone cannot do the night vigil period, right, then you have the duha opportunity. Right, to do 2, 4, 6, 8, whatever you can, right? So there are always, don't get yourself boxed in one approach. If I don't do this, then there's no other way of doing it, right? Get your problem-solving hat and say, okay, now I cannot do the 20 rak'ahs of Taraweeh. What other way can I do it? Okay, I'll attend 2 rak'ahs at least to get the minimum, because there's a great benefit of that. So I have to do some kind of qiyam. I'll just get myself to attend to the 2 rak'ahs of Taraweeh. And then I can compensate in duha. I can compensate with a recitation of the Qur'an. I can compensate through dhikr. I can compensate through charity. I can compensate through service. I can compensate through feeding people, hosting people for food. I can compensate through serving those who pray the Taraweeh. Right? Something of that sort. So don't get yourself boxed in. If you feel that whatever plan that you had was not optimum, does not serve your circumstances, you misplanned, you thought that you're capable of things and it turns out you were not, don't say, okay, I will stop, I will begin next Ramadan. No, yes, do adjust, you know, make maneuver around your circumstances and find a way to compensate for that.
Alhamdulillah. I think what I wanted to add on, you know, to your points is as well is the fact that, and she mentioned this, you know, in the previous two sessions, since Ramadan is supposed to be a journey, it's supposed to be a school of Ramadan, right? And we also need a little bit of reframing, because I think nowadays for ourselves as well, we feel a little bit tired, or we feel a little bit of a setback, right? And we think, okay, we're doing everything wrong, right? But actually, if you think about it, like challenges, feeling tired, these are indications that you're doing the right things, right? Like even though you get tired, even though it might get difficult, but that is the journey of Ramadan. Like this is what we have signed up for. This is where we will get the rewards of our strife as well. Like in Ramadan, we're telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we want something, right? Whatever we want, right? Closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgiveness, and most of us, we want everything and more. And hence we're pushing for our intentions and we're setting goals. It's supposed to feel difficult, right? And when you feel difficult, don't let that be an indication that, hey, I'm doing everything wrong. You know, hence I need to stop, or hence like I need to slow down. Yes, we have to adjust, but let that be a indication that, hey, like I'm on the right track still, right? And then take it as like a first half, second half thing. Like you have a halftime break when it comes to sports, right? And you take a,
Oh, you're taking my soccer example.
I am, yeah. So you kind of
take right. I give you permission, no problem.
Alhamdulillah.
You have ijazah to use my soccer examples.
So you're definitely going to feel tired, like in the halftime break, you know, of any sports. And you just have to adjust to finish the game strong, right? And something like
but
that.
But see, in addition to what you, I mean, thank you for sharing this because you reminded me of something.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, some people, especially young ones, and sometimes it's also because of pressure from adults.
Mm.
It is permissible that you pray your tarawih while sitting, right? It is permissible because it's a recommended ibadah. It's not mandatory, right? So if you do your tarawih while sitting down, it's still accepted from you. Now, the problem is that sometimes we would feel embarrassed. You know, someone who's 20, someone who's 25, someone who's 30, 35, right? And then you have someone who's 70 standing and the person who's at 35 sitting, right? Mm-hmm. So we feel embarrassed. How come, you know, this man or this woman standing for salah and I'm not standing for salah? But at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ. You know, we place the scales, the just scales. So one of the great saints of Islam, Sayyidi Muhyiddin al-Arabi, he says, it's not one scale. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ. We shall place, we shall establish the just scales. So scholars infer from that that there is each and every one of us has their own scale in a sense, right? And this scale puts in consideration the context that we're in. Someone who's born a Muslim is not like someone who became a Muslim. Someone who has a difficult job, let's say someone who works as a handyman, right? Or someone who works in construction, right? You think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them as someone who works from an office with an AC? See, it's a different context, right? Someone who has been raised in a neighborhood that is, you know, religious and punctual with ibadat. Someone like who would that be treated the same way as someone who has been raised in a neighborhood that is maybe has its challenges with addiction of the young ones in the neighborhood? They wouldn't be treated the same way. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your scale has, your context is considered in that scale, right? So it might be on the face value, on externally, it's the same action, but it has a different weight depending on which scale is being used to weigh that ibadah, weigh that action, weigh that struggle. So number one, don't compare yourself to someone else. Yes, it can get you to be motivated, I understand. It can make you push yourself. But as long as you don't reach the point of burnout, in other words, if it comes down to, I will attend the tarawih, but I will sit rather than not attend at all, then attend and sit. See? Maybe it will be like this half time. So you might find yourself, okay, I'll sit, and then after sitting for a while, you start seeing, you know, the elderly who are standing. You know what? You get some kind of a spiritual boost from them, right? This is not a type of ostentation or riya or that you're showing off or you're embarrassed. No. If you stand because you are embarrassed, yes, that is a problem. You don't stand because you're embarrassed. But if you sit down and then you find those who are older than you, maybe has some kind of a physical ailment, and yet they're pushing themselves to the limit, when you witness that, it will give you some energy, some spiritual energy. And then you'll find yourself standing. This is good. This is positive. This is why Taraweeh is done in a congregation. So you take some of this, the vibe. The one who doesn't have the energy will get the energy from the others, right? But the point is, if it either I let go or I pray and attend but not reach the optimum. Pray and attend without reaching the optimum. It's better than nothing. We as Muslims need to, because this is something unfortunately is prevalent in many walks of life, many fields, not just ibadah. We kind of have this tendency, you know, either that we fulfill 100% or we don't do anything at all. So we lose many opportunities because of this zero-sum type of mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Anything to add, Tash?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sheikh, for sharing such a beautiful like breakdown of our mindsets and teaching us also how to adjust in the midst of Ramadan.
And can I just say something? If someone in the masjid comes and say, oh, you know, you're so young, why are you sitting? Again, smile, gentleness, say, look, would you rather have me be with you in the masjid or that I go back home, sit on the couch, chill, play PlayStation? Right? You would rather have me here, right? So I would rather sit with you rather than sit in front of PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
He'll say, okay, I apologize.
Inshallah.
They will immediately say, oh, mashallah. You left the PlayStation for Taraweeh. Allahu Akbar. Keep sitting, no problem. We can bring you an even more comfortable chair. Right? Yeah. Okay. So it's okay, you know, just absorb whatever misconceptions that people have with a smile, with, you know, explaining in a gentle, you know, graceful way, people will accept.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Let's move on to talk about Laylatul Qadr. As we know, the second half of Ramadan seems to always revolve around the conversation about Laylatul Qadr. For those who haven't had the awareness or haven't learned about this lesson yet, maybe you can explain to us what essentially is Laylatul Qadr and what one of the biggest blessings of the night of Laylatul Qadr.
Okay, so there are two things that we have to look at here. Number one, the significance or the virtues of Laylatul Qadr. And how is this, how such significance ought to be reflected in our approach in Ramadan. All right. So Laylatul Qadr, there are different interpretations in terms of why it's called Al-Qadr or what does that mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Al-Qadr itself is either referring to the concept of Al-Qadr, which is predestination, is also reflected in the meaning of power, because al-qadr is also related to that meaning, the meaning of strength or power. It is also a night of a high value. So we when we refer in Arabic to something that is azim al-qadr, it means it's see, I'm getting excited as well. Right? It is of a great value. So these are different meanings that is related to the night of the decree, night of power, and so on and so forth. So this is in terms of the etymology of the word itself. It is a night that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a night of transformation. Whoever is present in the night of decree, in the Laylatul Qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transforms their coming year. So it's a night of transformation. But as much as this night is a gift for the ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it was also concealed. So we don't know which night it is in which this great blessings, this great transformation will take place. Now, what is important to note is that the conceptualization of scholars about Laylatul Qadr was always of two tiers, not just one. The first one is the common, the universal Laylatul Qadr, which is the majority of scholars say that it is one of the odd nights of the last third. There are scholars who take another opinion that Laylatul Qadr rotates around throughout the year, not just the month of Ramadan. And from this second opinion, that scholars have this second tier of Laylatul Qadr. They say every night in which you are present with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in the month of Ramadan, it becomes a night of Qadr for you. So you have a universal Laylatul Qadr. This is collective for the whole ummah. All of the ummah, this is something that is universal, applicable to all of them, applies to all of them. And then there are particular nights of Al-Qadr for each and every one of us. Any night throughout the year, especially in Ramadan, that you are present with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are overwhelmed by that presence, you are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes a night of decree for you. It becomes a night of transformation. Now, I want you to picture this. It's like you have this Laylatul Qadr meter, in a sense, you know, where it's red and then maybe orange or yellow and then green. And the more you collect the particular nights of Al-Qadr, the more you get a higher percentage of observing that universal one, which is concealed, right? So people, sometimes what they do, they wait until the last 10 days. And then this is where they get active, all right? Because this is the Laylatul Qadr. But in actuality, the more you try to observe the particular Laylatul Qadr before the 10 days, the more, the higher your chance to observe Laylatul Qadr during the last 10 days, right? And some people, unfortunately, sometimes, because it has been observed a number of times on the night of the 27th, so you find the night of the 27th, this is where everybody, the mosques are filled with people. But then the night of the 29th, you know, it's like, you know, we're done. It's okay. We don't try to look for Laylatul Qadr during the night of the 29th, even though it's an odd night, and there is a probability that it can be a Laylatul Qadr. So the way to go about observing it is to know or to understand that there are particular nights of Qadr, particular nights of transformation, particular nights of liberation. You know, this is the true liberty, you know. Again, you know, to reconnect with what we discussed earlier. Al-itq min al-niran, being freed from hellfire, the core of that is being freed from the shackles of the ego, from the shackles of the desires of the lower self. You become, as an individual, you become more empowered over your desires, right? Think about anyone who is achieving, even in soccer, like Mo Salah, for example. This is since I'm Egyptian, I have to mention Mo Salah, right? It's a famous soccer football player. And this is not an advertisement. He doesn't need it, right? but, you know, when they ask him about the kind of diet, for example, and you find Egyptians, like, you know, they would watch with great attention, and he would, you know, he outlined a very meticulous approach. The food is weighed, how many grams, this and that, right? So you find that anyone who achieves anything great in life, they're disciplined. It doesn't have to be soccer, it can be tennis, whatever it may be, right? It can be an entrepreneur, whatever it may be. There are certain components for achievement, right? You have to be disciplined. You have to be persistent, right? You have to, because you're gonna fail on the way to achievement. You're gonna fail, so you have to be persistent. You have to persevere, and you have to be consistent as well, right? So persistence is different than consistency, right? So there are certain components for achievement. These components, you can find them spiritually in Ramadan. There's discipline, there is perseverance, there is consistency, because we do it every day. And these are the keys for that liberation from the shackles of the lower self. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this Laylatul Qadr as a night where we anticipate, right? Now, what is important to know, why was it concealed? And some people say, okay, why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, just tell us which night? And, you know, we'll just prepare ourselves, and it's like a meeting, right? We'll prepare ourselves and we'll be present for two reasons. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a meeting time, and then for whatever reason we don't come, then we'll be in a bad position. Rather than if it's concealed, then we miss it, right? Then we have an excuse in a sense. So on one hand, this is out of His mercy that it's concealed. If it was revealed and then we don't attend to it, while knowing it's a night of transformation, night of liberty, night of grace, night of mercy, night of blessings, and then we don't go, then it becomes so bad just for us. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is keen to punish, wal'iyadhu billah, it's not. But it will be bad for us in terms of looking at ourselves, right, if we don't come. So it's concealed on one hand, this becomes a mercy and grace for us as well. But on the other hand, because it is concealed, it means that we will be in continuous observation of it, right? So that will also get us enthusiastic, get us, you know, active in terms of trying to observe Laylatul Qadr. So these are two benefits of why Laylatul Qadr has been has been concealed.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting because Laylatul Qadr is always something that we talk about as like a, we're going to catch it. And like I can totally see like the last 10 nights and you see like a distinct uprise in the worship that we do. But it's so beautiful to think of it as like a, it's also a boot camp, a spiritual boot camp in its own sorts, in that every night of Ramadan is preparing you so that if you can catch that light night of Laylatul Qadr. And I think that's such a, that meter of like collecting your particular Laylatul Qadr so that you can hit the universal one. That was a very interesting perspective to take to it. And I guess we've talked a lot about the mindset we should have when approaching Laylatul Qadr, you know, about the rest of the month, about the days leading up to it, the last 10 nights. What about during these nights itself, what kind of mindset should a believer have? Like what kind of mindset should we have in terms of connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead of looking at the night of Laylatul Qadr itself? A lot of us have like lists of du'as that we have that we pull out in Laylatul Qadr, like Allah give me this, this, this. So what are your thoughts on that? And what do you think is an optimal mindset for us to have?
Did you watch Kung Fu Panda?
No.
Oh, you didn't watch Kung Fu Panda? Did you watch it?
I do not.
Yeah, surely.
You did watch Kung Fu Panda.
1, 2, 3.
All right. Okay. Now, I apologize. We're going to burn
it's
it
okay.
for you. But,
it's okay.
Kung Fu Panda, if you remember the third sequel, right? Kai was so keen on the quantification of the chi, right? So he goes around collecting all the chis from the different... you have to watch it. I apologize. Right? Yes. So he's like collecting all those, right? Yeah. So his approach was an approach of quantity, not an approach of quality, right? So, and he couldn't endure at the end, right? The chi that he has been collecting, right? One of the problems that we face in our ibadah is that we treat the ibadah in a very quantified fashion. Yes, there are certain quantities, certain things that gives us structure. Any kind of discipline must include some kind of a structure, right? Some kind of a threshold, a quantitative threshold that one needs to approach. But at the same time, that quantified structure is not intended for the quantity in and of itself. It is intended because it becomes a threshold in which quality could then manifest, all right? So you're talking about the mindset in which we approach Laylatul Qadr, right? The mindset should be a mindset of how can I attend Laylatul Qadr in from the perspective of the quality, not the quantity. Because people approach it quantitatively, okay, so they say we have 5 probabilities. It's one of the odd nights of the last 10 days, right? So they deal with the ibadah through a quantification, through a bargain type of a
right,
a very mechanical approach, rather than if someone let's say had these numbers of layali al-qadr, nights of decree, the particular ones, and for whatever reason missed that universal one because they were sick, they were busy with family, someone went to the hospital and they had to be with them, whatever it may be, right? And they did not spend it in ibadah. They had some kind of an excuse, right? It counts for them as if they attended, right? So the issue is not the mere doing rak'ahs when it was the night of decree. It's about being present in that night. You get my point? So if someone who has been present in 2 rak'ahs in the night of decree is much better than someone who did 400 rak'ahs without presence in the night of decree. So the mindset that we ought to have, that we ought to embody throughout Ramadan and especially in observance of Laylatul Qadr, is that we ought to be seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not seeking some kind of a quantification. You know, this is not the Kai collecting the cheese in a sense, right? No, this is not cheese as a sandwich, cheese. It's a plural of chi. Anyways, sorry for the cheesy joke. Apologize, everybody. Okay? you don't like the joke.
I just have no context whatsoever.
Because Kung Fu Panda again.
Everyone's going to look at ham and cheese sandwich not the same ever again. Cheese.
Correct. Correct. So the idea is not to approach Laylatul Qadr as if it's something, it's like collectibles, right? It's not collectibles. It's about being present with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And presence with Allah ultimately means that one is free from any kind of attachment other than the attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean that we break our family ties. This is not the meaning. It means that the core of our need, our dependence, our love, our connection, our proximity, attachment, seeking, keenness, reliance, dependence is all related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any kind of relationship afterwards stems from that.
Yeah. Inshallah. This is like so beautiful, mashallah. And
He likes Kung Fu Panda, that's why.
Like, I was just like fully resonating with what was shared, and in my mind I was just thinking that what you've said about Laylatul Qadr is such a good understanding of what the wisdom behind why it's not given a specific date, right? And if you think about it, what is the real, like, true reward of Laylatul Qadr? Like, of course, like, you know, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's rewarded more than 1,000 months, right? But, you know, on top of that, you know, when you are seeking in a way that you've shared, Sheikh, you know, that is actually the true reward of Laylatul Qadr. The fact that you are in ibadah in Allah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His sake, you know, and you're happy doing it, right? And that is the true reward of Laylatul Qadr. Like, the entire month of Ramadan is striving for you to transform yourself internally, right? And if we really do attain that, right, then we will already see the rewards of Laylatul Qadr in our own lives, in this life, right? And I think one of the things that has kept popping in my mind, you know, as you guys were discussing, you know, the mindset behind Laylatul Qadr, we mentioned this last year in our Ramadan podcast where we talked about Laylatul Qadr, and this is something that Ustaz Mukhtar had mentioned at Masjid Wat Tanjong. He's amazing. He says, we're always chasing Laylatul Qadr. Like, we always use the word chase, right? We are chasing it. But why don't we meet it, right? When we chase something, right, we are always chasing from behind. But when you're to meet someone, you wait somewhere to meet someone, right? And he says, how do you meet Laylatul Qadr, right? He has such a straightforward and clear answer. He says, every day, after iftar, you pray maghrib, you pray ishaq, you pray 2 rakats of your ba'diyah, you pray tarawih, no matter how many rakats you do. And just before subuh, or just after you finish your sahur, you pray 2 rakats of tarawih, or taubat, or 2 rakats of night prayers. And then you start your fast. If you do this for 30 days, inshallah, you will catch Laylatul Qadr. And he says, you just have to do this and you'll catch Laylatul Qadr. And you'll meet Laylatul Qadr.
I like this example of meet Laylatul Qadr rather than chase. And this is why people ask about the signs.
Yeah.
And when they mention some of the signs that are cosmological, like, you know, the sun will look in a certain way, the horizon, right? But so I usually say this is a sign that the night of decree, the Laylatul Qadr, has passed, right? So this is not the sign that it will begin. It means it already happened, already occurred, right? So it is not a sign that you necessarily were present in it.
Yeah.
It tells you that it was Laylatul Qadr, not that it is or it will be. So it boils down to an overwhelming intuition, overwhelming feeling of presence, of uplift, of attachment. Rather than, while yes, we can, you know, have glad tidings from these kind of cosmological kind of, you know, signs. But at the end of the day, it boils down to the feelings that we have in our hearts during that night, rather. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Anything you want to add, Dash?
No, I'm okay.
Okay. Alhamdulillah.
I think she dreads the whole Kung Fu Panda thing.
Still processing.
Yeah, try to watch that before Ramadan so that you don't be busy.
Yeah. You can catch those YouTube summaries nowadays. They have like 10 minutes movie summaries, inshallah.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, on that note, we have one surprise segment for you, Sheikh.
Oh, wow.
This is actually one of our...
I already think that the viewers are already surprised because it's Laylatul Qadr. I'm talking about Mo Salah and Kung Fu Panda. So they're already surprised.
Alhamdulillah.
It was not planned. Just kinda...
This was recorded before Ramadan.
Yeah. True.
And this is a segment we call Quick Fire Questions, where we...
Quick Fire Question.
Very La ilaha illallah. Quick questions, and you answer them in like 10 minutes.
I said, La ilaha illallah, he took the fire out. Alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah extinguishes the fire. So they became just quick questions. Oh,
no worries. Okay.
Okay.
So I will ask why the touch will ask one, inshallah.
Okay, you'll ask her?
We will ask you.
Why?
We have asked this.
We've asked each other this every year. Every year.
Okay. So why don't you ask each other this year as well?
This year we have you. We don't have you.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, so, we have 8 questions on our list, but we will choose 3 or 4 from that, for the 8. Okay. So we just choose again.
All right. My hands are becoming sweaty.
Okay. Very simple ones. Okay. First and foremost, what is your favorite iftar?
When I think about quick fire questions, you have to answer them quick.
You have to answer quick.
Quick.
Yeah.
One sentence, to 2 to 3
answers,
sentences.
Like answers.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's stressed.
There's so many.
Sardines.
No, don't. No, we said no fish in Ramadan, right? Because it makes you thirsty. Look, I don't have a single out dish that I like. But I think I'm kind of, I know, it will sound kind of contradicting because I've been saying don't be a perfectionist, but I try for something that has something that I crave, but at the same time doesn't, is not heavy. So for example, I would resort to something that is grilled, right? Not something that is with a lot of gravy, right? So... whatever is, you know, having like a grilled beef or chicken with some white rice and salad, maybe that would be like a good thing. Yeah.
And Taj, what's your favorite iftar last year you shared?
Oh dear. My favorite iftar used to be Subway.
Okay.
But this year I'm currently looking for a new favorite iftar because...
That's your favorite brand or favorite?
Favorite food, Subway. Yeah. Like any Subway. Actually, no, I have a few Subway sandwiches I always go to, but Kevin is very shocked that this year is not my favorite iftar. Okay. That's why he keeps asking me what my new favorite iftar is.
Okay.
But I think I will take you up on that. I think this one's really good, good meat and rice. Okay, cool. Our next question.
Okay.
What is your favorite thing about Ramadan?
Favorite thing about Ramadan? Yeah, the smell of it.
Care to elaborate?
What is the smell of Ramadan to you?
You smell it.
Do?
Yeah, you smell it. Just there's like a breeze to it. You just feel that Ramadan is in the air. Sure. Yeah.
Like before it starts, or even throughout.
Yeah, before it starts and as it begins, you kind of just feel it's in the air.
Oh. Tonight is the last night of Sha'ban before Ramadan starts.
Mashallah.
The next one I'll ask you, and then Taj can have the last one later.
Okay.
Okay, so next question. What is one trait that you want the Prophet ﷺ to remember you with on the Day of Judgment?
That I kept trying.
Alhamdulillah.
Last question. What is your favorite book of all time? The answer cannot be the Quran, as we have previously encountered.
You can name top 3 also.
Yeah. Okay, now you make it easier a little bit. definitely, Ihya Ulumuddin would be one of the 3. Mm. The tafsir of Imam al-Razi is definitely one of the 3. And I don't know, we can keep it these 2.
We can.
Yeah,
we can.
All right. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. All right. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Sheikh, once welcome. Again for gracing us with your presence, your wisdom,
thank
and
you
knowledge.
Thank you for hosting me.
Thank you. We've benefited so much from you. And we pray that this is the start of many, many other opportunities that we can continue working together.
Thank you for hosting me.
Thank you. We have, backstage, we have Sis Fauzia, who is working on, our media operations, our lights. And we have a very very, very cheerful, very, very participative backstage guests with us as well. Sis Tasha, Sis Mariam, Brother Aziz, and Brother Ashari. Thank you for you know, making it here, and hopefully this has benefited you guys as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our Ramadans something that is accepted and accept our ibadah and our sincerity in this month of Ramadan. And before we end this series of podcast session, maybe you could help us by making a dua for us and help us end by reciting Tasbih Kafar and Surah Al-Asr.
اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى لك الحمد إذا رضيت لك الحمد بعد رضا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره مقداره العظيم Oh Allah, make us amongst those who are accepted during the month of Ramadan and those who are liberated from the shackles of and the confinement of their egos and their lower selves during the month of Ramadan. Oh Allah, allow us through this month and the remaining of this month that we fast in a way that pleases you and brings joy to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Allah, make us amongst those who are connected and present with you in the night of the night of decree on Laylatul Qadr. Make us amongst those who observe it, and make us amongst those who worship you in a way that draws us nearer to you and to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam during the night of Laylatul Qadr. And O Allah, make us amongst those who bring generosity and bring grace and mercy and gentleness to their families during the month of Ramadan and the remaining of the month of Ramadan. Those who are generous by their wealth, and they're generous by their manners, and generous by their hearts and their prayers as well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us intentions during the month of Ramadan that would elevate our ranks in the Day of Judgment and gets us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the month of Ramadan and beyond. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who exit the month of Ramadan elevated, with their good deeds accepted, their sins expiated, and being in proximity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who are beloved to Him. عز وجل آمين آمين والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.